Hey guys, Dennis here with VOD Games. I'm joined by
Joshua Vayers, all the way in South Africa.
Yes, and today we're going to talk about the Game Awards nominations, which, you know, is going to be taking place, I believe, on December 5th. Jeff Keighley just did a live stream announcement, I believe yesterday. We're going to talk about, we're not going to go through every single category, but we'll talk about the ones that we kind of have more experience with. But yeah, this year, before we get started, this year, not that last year was a bad year for gaming, I felt like there wasn't as many AAA titles last year, and it was more of like a lot of good indie games last year. This year, the AAA titles have kind of come back, as you'll see in the nominations. What'd you think overall of kind of the games that were nominated and kind of the whole feel for this year?
Well, first of all, the live stream was short and to the point, which I really appreciate. So thank you, Jeff Keighley, for keeping it short and to the point. Yeah, look, I'm pretty happy with the nominations. A couple of them stood out for me, and I was kind of like wondering why they got nominated or why they were put in the category that they were put in. But I don't know. Do you know if the nominations were voted on by the public, or did the... I know the winners are voted on by the public. Like, you can vote right now in the Discord channel or on the website. But I don't know if the nominations were voted on, because
I think the nominations are internal. I think it's internal because I figure they want to make something or nominate something that's worthy, and then if the fans choose whatever, at least it to them it's worthy of being at least nominated. So you don't get any outliers where you're like, you know, I'm gonna, you know, pick like troll the Game Awards and make some crappy game.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah.
You know, so. I think that's probably how it works. So let's start off with...
Hold on. Go ahead. Before we jump into this, I did just want to say, because I know we're big on VR on this channel, I'm really enjoying Among Us VR.
Oh,
just
are
throwing
you?
That out there.
I haven't started yet.
I will... I'll talk about that on the podcast more in depth, but yeah.
Yeah, this is not going to be a full podcast. We'll do that probably later this week. But just want to talk about the Game Awards nominations, since this is probably going to be... I'd say like half an hour at least just on this subject matter. So let's start off with the big one. Game of the year. You know, this is the one, you know, that everyone wants to win. Last year was It Takes Two, right, Juan?
Correct,
I believe. Yeah.
Which was a surprise to me, but also not a surprise, because it was a fantastic game. But it's interesting that a co-op game won Game of the Year. You know what I mean? But man, it is a really fun game. It's a great co-op game.
Yeah, like I said, last year was a very good year for indies. It wasn't a big AAA game year. This year, a different story, despite even some of the delays like Hogwarts and Starfield not coming out this year. But let's talk about the nominees. So Game of the Year, A Plague Tale Requiem, Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Stray, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3. So I'm familiar with all these games except for Xenoblade Chronicles 3. Stray was a little surprise. The top four weren't. Maybe not surprised, but I was delighted to see A Plague Tale Requiem get the recognition just because it's like one of those games that's like, I don't know, it's like almost AAA title, you know what I mean? It's like almost in that category, plus... You know, the first game was like well received, but it was kind of more like a cult favorite. And this one, it has kind of gotten a lot more acclaim. It's a lot bigger.
I mean, it's definitely got the AAA feel for sure. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I mean, God, that's a stacked category. And I haven't played Horizon.
Stray, like you said as well, Stray's. It's interesting. Look, I know a lot of people loved Stray, but it's a very short game. Like, I would have expected it to be in a different category, like maybe games of impact, you know what I mean? Because that did, like, even like non-gamers loved Stray. But I don't think it's Game of the Year material, man. Xenoblade Chronicles 3, I haven't had the chance to play that. I did play the first one years ago when it came. Technically, I think it came out on the Wii, and they re-released it onto the Switch. Haven't had the chance to play number 3 yet. But also, like, not something I would consider Game of the Year, at least... Unless it's phenomenal compared to the first two games. I don't really consider that Game of the Year material either. We really are looking at the top four here. Like the top four that we mentioned.
And I feel like it's a two-horse race. I think it's between Elden Ring and God of War Ragnarok. As much as I love A Plague Tale Requiem, And I'm sure Horizon Forbidden West is great as well. But in the eyes of the public and about what people, you know, the buzz about these games, it's Elden Ring versus God of War Ragnarok. And we had talked about that at the beginning of the year, like when Elden Ring had come out and you and me were obsessed with it. We were like, okay, can anything beat this? And we're like, the only thing is probably God of War Ragnarok, you know?
Yeah.
So the benefit, though, of God of War Ragnarok is it came out recently, so it's got that recent buzz, right? So recency bias that sometimes happens in all manners of judging, where people are more excited about it because I put so many hours into Elden Ring, but I haven't touched it in months, right? So, like, I don't have that same buzz that I had when I was playing it, even though who knows if it would match what I'm playing with God of War Ragnarok. So I don't
I'd
know.
Say
what
the community is very diehard for Elden Ring, though, for sure. Mm-hmm. Like the community, like it's a lot more diehard than the God of War. I could get flamed for saying this. Like the God of War community is huge, but I don't think that they're as ready to represent the game as the Elden Ring community. Like the Elden Ring community is really going to represent it. I will say, though, right off the bat, like Plague Tale Requiem, I also played a bit of it. It's a fantastic game. It really is between Elden Ring and God of War Ragnarok, mainly because this is user voted, right? These are consumer voted. This is, if it was based upon like proper journalistic reviewers and stuff, I think it'd be a bit different because, well, like I think it'd be between Horizon Forbidden West, God of War Ragnarok, and Elden Ring, because God of War Ragnarok, at least from what I've been able to tell, as phenomenal as it is, like not like it's. Like you said it yourself, not much has really changed from the previous game. Maybe a few new powers. You don't want it to change much, but also you want to see some change. Like Horizon Forbidden West, still the same game mechanics, but like a whole new set of weapons. Like they've innovated the game a lot compared to the previous game. So there's a lot, like it's very different in terms of gameplay. Well, you know what I mean? Like it's still the same mechanics, but new mechanics. It's portrayed in a different way. You know what I mean? You've got you've got mounts that you can fly with. You have a glider. Things like that. So they changed that up a lot. In my heart, I hope Elden Ring wins because I do think that Elden Ring had a much bigger impact on the gaming world. And that maybe that'll be in Games for Impact as well. Or game like Elden Ring, if it doesn't win Game of the Year, it's definitely going to win Game Direction. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So this is my take. So I haven't finished Ragnarok and I haven't finished Requiem yet. So I'm not going to say Elden Ring is better than those two because I haven't finished them, right? I will say this. I think Elden Ring's going to win. And I just realized why is because, remember, Ragnarok is only on two consoles, the PS4 and the PS5. Elden Ring is on the PS...
Multi-platform.
I think it's a PS4, PS5, Xbox Series X, Xbox Series S, I think Xbox One, PC. So it's just a wider range of people can play the game. It's available to everyone. So that's kind of where I'm thinking. I'm thinking Elden Ring is going to win Game of the Year. That's my prediction.
I think it's going to win a few categories.
Yes.
But we'll get into that. Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. So the next one, which is kind of related to Game of the Year, it's much like the Oscars, where you have the best picture and the one like kind of just below that is director. Best game direction. So we have mainly the same games, Elden Ring, God of War, Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Immortality, and Stray. So the two that are gone from there are Plague Tale Requiem and Xenoblade Chronicles 3. And Immortality. So Immortality is a game I've talked about before in the podcast that a lot of people haven't played. It's a very I can see why it got nominated because it's all about kind of the acting and the direction, less about the gameplay because there's not much gameplay to it. If people don't know, Immortality is from Sam Barlow, who had done Her Story, and I forgot the other one. It was like Telling Lies was the other one. And yeah, all
Her
of them
story it, was very popular though.
Yeah, and all of them involve just videos. It's like a lot of videos, and you have to kind of like research and like a mystery, and you kind of solve these puzzles. But all you're doing is really watching videos and trying to like find more videos, and you're piecing together a story together. And the direction is very important because of all the videos in there. So I see why that's in there. I don't think it's going to win. I still think it's going to be a two horse race between Elden Ring, God of War, Ragnarok, where I could see a split where I think Elden Ring is winning game of the year. I could see God of War, Ragnarok winning game direction. What do you think?
I think Elden Ring will win game direction as well. I think it's possible for it to take both game of the year and game direction just because of how different it was. Like God of War, Ragnarok, it didn't change the direction much from God of War, you know? It's, which, like I said, in terms of, at least for me, like what I want from God of War is I want a continuation. I would have liked to see more weapons and stuff like that added, like that, which is how they did the first trilogy. But the direction's pretty much the same direction, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, for at least for me, but once again, these are fan, you know, these are user voted stuff. Interestingly enough, I'd say in terms of game direction, I don't think Stray's going to get a lot of votes, but Stray had a really good game direction. Mm-hmm. It was very fresh. It was very new, the way that it had that game direction. Immortality, I forgot that even existed until you explained what it was. And I was like, oh, right, that game. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's going to get much views as good as it is.
I'm glad it got nominated, though. It got nominated in a few different categories. I'm glad it got recognition.
Yeah. Horizon Forbidden West, story-wise, it didn't change much of the... There wasn't much of a game direction change, but in terms of gameplay, they added a lot of new things, added a lot of different things, a lot more different monsters and stuff. But once again, I do think it's going to be between Ragnarok and Elden Ring here, based on the votes. And once again, just because you mentioned it just now, Elden Ring being a multi-platform game, I think Elden Ring might very well win that game as well. Dude, I can see Elden Ring doing a clean sweep just because way more people have played it. You know what I mean?
True.
What I will say is it's interesting that there's a lot of Sony games here, a lot of Sony exclusives. Wow. You know, not any Xbox exclusives.
Well, Xbox didn't come out with anything. You know? They didn't.
Exactly.
There was no triple A first party studios for Microsoft. So it makes sense.
Game Pass was doing well for them. So
Game Pass will do much better next year for them. So it'll be interesting to see the Game Awards next year where Microsoft goes.
Another topic, but a lot of people have canceled their PS Plus subscription just because the tiers confused them. Yeah. So a lot of people just got rid of it for that sake. Yeah, I think Elden Ring's going to win here as well.
You know what? I probably think so as well, because when I'm thinking of the game direction, it's more than just the story, because there's also the gameplay involved. But the next one I do think is where God of War Ragnarok has a chance, and that's best narrative, which is A Plague Tale: Requiem, Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, and Immortality. And the reason I say this is because Elden Ring, while it has a great lore, it doesn't have a very detailed narrative.
I still have no idea what the hell's going on in that game. And I put in like almost 200 hours, Dennis.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that game, but I have no idea what the hell's happening. You know?
So I don't see how that could win. It has a great backstory, right? A lore.
Yeah.
But the actual narrative itself is actually not very...
Not very good.
I wouldn't even say not good. It's just very shallow, because they're not really... It's not focused on that, you know?
Very hidden as well, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so
if you will.
Even A Plague Tale: Requiem has a better narrative than Elden Ring. So, and I'm sure Horizon Forbidden West does too. I just haven't played it yet. And Immortality,
I think God of War Ragnarok's going to win.
I think so.
Right. You're absolutely right with this one.
Yeah, God of War, I think takes that one. So the next one is Best Art Direction: Elden Ring, God of War, Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West. Scorn is in there, and Stray. Yeah. So now you're taking out a Plague Tale from this kind of big list of big top contenders, and put in Scorn, which obviously has that H.R. Giger, and then I forgot the Polish artist influence in there. So it has a really cool art direction. For me, it's Elden Ring. Elden Ring is the funny thing about Elden Ring is I kept saying this is like the models and the animations were not actually top notch compared to like other games, but the art direction in it is fantastic. And every location you go to, every weapon, every armor just has this beautiful, gorgeous look to everything. So for me, this is like Elden Ring, you know. It's my choice.
I would say, first of all, like Horizon Forbidden West, I would say it's not that it has a very good art direction. It's very pretty. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like it's very like polished, very pretty. A lot of bright colors. but not much like, well, like the robotic creatures you fight were definitely like difficult to design and things like that, I'd imagine. God of War Ragnarok, from what I've seen as well, it very similar art direction to God of War, you know. But I think a lot of people are going to vote for God of War Ragnarok. I think I agree with you. Elden Ring had the most beautiful art direction, and it was like I said, you weren't dealing with like the highest graphics. Like the game wasn't like super big graphics, but the idea behind it all, like the Erd Tree, like every like that first moment, the very first moment you have into the open world was beautiful. It was stunning. Like the atmosphere in the game is
the
phenomenal.
Bosses. Design of all the bosses.
And this, the aesthetic, man. Here's the thing. I know Scorn's not going to get voted for, but I did love the art direction of Scorn. I did love it. I just know a lot of people hated the game, but I kind of enjoyed it, you know?
I only played a little of it. I didn't get really into it. The only thing with Scorn when you talk about the art direction is that it's the same, you know? It's very
alien,
similar.
Man.
Where Elden Ring, there's beautiful,
much,
like...
You're right.
Different, yeah. Elden Ring goes into various different types of fantastical environments. To me, this is Elden Ring's hands down. Let's go to best score music. Now, this one's interesting because here we go. We got Olivier Derivieri, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, A Plague Tale Requiem, Sakasa Sato in Elden Ring, Bear McCreary, God of War Ragnarok, Two Feathers for Metal Hellsinger, and Yasunori Mitsudo. So I don't know where, I don't know why my list only has his name. It doesn't say like what he worked
on. Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
Okay, so I don't know why I got cut off. But anyways, I haven't played Metal Hellsinger or Xenoblade.
I have.
But these three...
I haven't played Xenoblade.
But these three have excellent scores. God of War Ragnarok, Elden Ring, A Plague Tale Requiem. Oh, man, that's a tough one. This one's, like, to me, like, such a toss-up.
I'm biased. I know mine's not going to win. I didn't like the game Metal Hellsinger, but, man, as a metalhead, that soundtrack clapped. I mean, the game was basically designed... Like, it was a half and half. It was designed with music in mind, and it was designed with, like, a lot of metal artists. That's kind of how they marketed the game as well. That's just because I'm biased towards the genre. So, really, I think it's between Ragnarok and Elden Ring again. Elden Ring was very fantastical with its score music. I haven't gotten to play God of War Ragnarok yet, but if I'm basing it off of the previous God of War game, which had an amazing score and music, which was, like... like very dark, but then also like not uplifting. I forget. My vocabulary is a bit short today, but I really enjoyed God of War's soundtrack. So I haven't played the new one, so I don't. It can only be just as good. I'm sure that's the same guy. But it's I really couldn't tell you who's gonna win here. I think it's between Elden Ring and God of War. Just
probably
those are the most played games. You know, Plague Tale Requiem also has great stuff, but a smaller fan base. You know.
Yeah. I mean, that Elden Ring theme really hits hard. Like that,
it
like,
does, yeah.
Like in the intro screen.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, dude, that's true, man. That's true.
Yeah, like it really, like, you're like, oh, I'm on an epic adventure now.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's go.
Epic music, yeah.
Let's go to best performance. This is actually also a very stacked category. So we have Ashley Birch for Horizon Forbidden West. We have Charlotte McBurney for A Plague Tale Requiem. Christopher Judge for God of War Ragnarok, Manon Gage for Immortality, Sunny Suljic for God of War Ragnarok. So I played all of these except for Horizon Forbidden West, and these are all excellent performances. I would guess that, I mean, the most popular one is probably going to be Christopher Judge.
I was going to say, even just meme, just because of like memes or, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people are just going to vote for him because it's God of War. You know what I mean? Like hell, people who haven't even played the game will probably vote for him. You know what I mean? Yeah. I will say, though, Charlotte had an amazing performance. I haven't played Horizon Forbidden West yet, but I am a huge Ashley Birch fan. And I mean huge. Like, I love Ashley Birch. But in terms of, you're looking at the mocap for Charlotte. You know what I mean? Like, that's... Like that, it was really good acting. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like all around.
I want to give shout out to Manan Gage, if that's how you pronounce her name. I can't, but she did a fantastic, because Immortality, basically the whole game like relies on her performance. Like if she does not pull it off, because she has to play herself in three different stages of her life. And you know, there's a lot of mystery in twists and turns with her character, because she's also playing herself as an actress, but she's also playing the characters in the movies that she's acting in as well, you know. So I don't think she'll win just purely on numbers wise, but I think she deserves a lot of recognition.
Out of what I've experienced, I enjoyed Charlotte's performance most, but I do think Christopher Judge is going to win just because he's God of War, you know.
How far are you in Plague Tale Requiem?
Not too far, because I've been AFK for a while, actually. Like the past, I'd say I had COVID about 3 weeks ago as well. I've been man down. Like I've been away from my PC for the past 3 weeks. I've been playing a lot of Switch games, because I've been driving around a lot, traveling a lot, so I have my Switch.
Time to get a Steam Deck.
I'm not gonna lie. I might leave it for the podcast, but I was gonna say, dude, I've been playing. I doubt it'll get out there, so I doubt we'll get demonetized for it. But I won't say it. I've been playing the Nintendo Switch emulator to like basically try out games before I spend because they're so expensive. Before I go and throw down the money for it, I try it out first. Yeah. And it's the one that people have been said is the Steam Deck. You use that emulator, and it's basically a Switch. I'm not gonna lie, it runs really good on PC. Some of the games run better on PC than they do on the Switch. But yeah.
If I was a mobile gamer, I would definitely get a Steam Deck. But I have hardly enough time to just play on my PC or my consoles as it is. All right, let's go on to best ongoing game. I think this is something you will have more experience with, but I'll read them off. Apex Legends, Destiny 2, Final Fantasy 14 Online, Fortnite, Genshin Impact. So what are your thoughts?
All right, well, right off the bat, I'd say Destiny 2 is not even considerable in my opinion. Apex Legends, they did add arena mode. I don't know if that was last year or this year, because I haven't played it in so long. Mm-hmm. But I do know that the fan base for that has been growing. Fortnite added no build mode, which got me back to play the game, because I can't build freaking like towers like in a second, you know what I mean? I get destroyed by kids. But so I've been playing a lot of Fortnite. Like, Fortnite's always one of those things where, like, that's the real metaverse, man. I don't know any other game where you can have DC and Marvel characters in the same game shooting each other. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And a bunch of anime... I will say that. Fortnite won me over again this year. Final Fantasy XIV is a game that I love. It's near and dear to my heart. I don't play it all year round because it's an MMO, and MMOs are a huge time sink. Mm-hmm. So I'll usually, like, if I got a slow month, it's a subscription service, so I'll pay for a month and then I'll play it. Do love that. We'll say though, the previous expansion came out December 7th, which is technically within the year of the Game Awards to be accepted, because the Game Awards games that came out in December of last year would be in the pool to be nominated for this year. So, but it has been that's technically a while ago. I think it's actually between Genshin Impact and Final Fantasy XIV. I don't play a lot of Genshin Impact, but we're talking about the fan base here. It's fan votes. Genshin Impact has a huge fan base, dude, because it's also mobile, and there's a lot of people who play it on mobile. It's on every console. It's on PC. Mm-hmm. Final Fantasy XIV is just PC and console. You know what I mean? Mobile players, as much as I don't like mobile gaming, that's a huge pool of people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I think it's between Genshin Impact and Final Fantasy XIV. I really enjoyed Fortnite this year, though, because I think it was nice for them to add the no build mode.
Cool.
But yeah, so it's a toss-up between those two. I couldn't tell you. I hope Final Fantasy XIV wins, just because out of the two, if I had to choose one, I would choose Final Fantasy XIV. But if they don't win for that, it'll win for community support.
Cool. All right, let's move on to best indie game. We have Cult of the Lamb, Neon White, Sifu, Stray, and Tunic. So this is a very good year for indie games. Yeah. I've heard all of these except for Neon White. Sifu
Neon
is one
White
that
is interesting.
Yeah, Sifu's getting a lot of love this Game Awards nominations. Which one would you out of these would you pick?
I don't think it'll win, but out of all of these, the one I enjoyed the most is Cult of the Lamb. I really enjoyed that. It's a lot like, well, it's got like the roguelite elements, and it's a lot like Binding of Isaac and Dreamscaper. It's a lot like a lot of roguelite games. What I like is that you have your home base, and that's a little bit like Animal Crossing. So it's like Animal Crossing meets Binding of Isaac. So I really enjoyed that. Neon White, I believe, was also, if it is the game that I'm thinking of that I played, yeah, it's quite fast-paced and fun. It's, I don't know how to explain it, but it was very different. I haven't experienced a game like that. Also roguelike, but way more fast-paced. I haven't really experienced a game like that. I can't think of any other games. I mean, it's funny. The only other game I think that's like that is Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories, which was, I think originally it was like, was it a Game Boy game, I think? Then eventually it became a PlayStation game. It's weird, but like, it's because it's like you have cards. All your moves are based on like a deck of cards that you have, but this is a first person game and it's fast paced. So you gotta like choose what cards you wanna use, and that's like the moves you make. So yeah, it's difficult to explain that, but it was fun. Sifu, also fantastic. Stray, and I really like Tunic. Very, very, you know, it's
like I heard it was like Legend of Zelda, right? Like the original, yeah, like Legend of
Link's
Zelda.
Awakening. Yeah, it's a lot like Link's Awakening, yeah. I think Sifu might win this.
Really?
Just
I think
there's a lot. Yeah.
I think Stray's going to win it. It's like at the Oscars, right? When a foreign film gets nominated for both Best Picture and Best Foreign Film, and they don't give it for Best Picture, they usually give it for Best Foreign Picture. It's like this consolation prize. I feel like Best Indie Game's gonna go. It's like I feel like it probably Stray or Sifu, but I feel like Stray's gonna win in that category.
Yeah.
Best Debut Indie Game also is pretty similar to this list, except for. Norco and Vampire Survivors is in there. Buzzing about Vampire Survivors. I haven't played it yet. It's on Game Pass.
I love that game. I love that game. Dennis, it was like the most played game, or it was like in the top 10 on Steam for months.
Is it a twin stick shooter? Like, what is the style?
It's a one stick shooter, because it's like it auto aims, so you just got to move and avoid things. I've actually played a lot of mobile games that are like that. But it just got added to Game Pass recently as well. But I mean,
it's like a $5 game. It's a $5 game. Yeah. But like people are saying, like some people are like, dude, it's game of the year, you know, but it didn't get nominated.
I've clocked in almost about 100 hours into that game. Jeez. I love that game. And if you look at it, it's like it's got the graphics of like the original Castlevania game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like it's like 8-bit, 16-bit probably. You know what I mean? I think that just because of the thing is though, like, I don't know if the people will vote for it. I just know that out of all these games, Vampire Survivors was played way more. People have got way more hours in that game. It was like one of the most played games on Steam this year. Yeah.
People are loving it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Best Indie will probably go to Stray, just because even non-gamers play that game. Yeah. But then again, will non-gamers vote on the Game Awards? That's another question,
I don't know.
But yeah, dude, I think it's Vampire Survivors. Like Neon White was interesting and different, but not that many people played it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people played Stray. People played more Stray than Tunic, but Vampire Survivors, more people played that than anything on this list. Okay. I just don't know what the votes are gonna be like. All
right.
But yeah, Vampire Survivors is huge.
What are your thoughts on the best community support?
Community support, I'm gonna tell you right now, it's like Final Fantasy XIV has always had the greatest community support, like hands down. That and No Man's Sky Hello Games also got great community support. Like Fortnite, I love Fortnite, but there's not much like community. They don't need community support, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And like there's not much of a community because people, like I don't know, like people, don't, as far as I know, like nobody really, you don't interact with people, you just ping, you know what I mean? Same with Apex Legends and Destiny 2, but like Final Fantasy 14 and No Man's Sky, those have got like heavy active forums as well, like very active forums, and they're huge forums. Between those two, I think just because there's a much bigger player base for Final Fantasy 14, I think it'll win. But even for me, like if I had to choose my own, I couldn't decide between No Man's Sky and Final Fantasy 14. Both communities are also very positive, like they're like the least toxic communities I've ever been a part of.
That's good. And that's the, you know, that's due to a large part for with community moderation and mm-hmm. what's not. All right, this is a category that I'm very into, which is the best VR AR game. After the Fall was nominated, Among Us VR, Bone Lab, Moss Book 2, and Red Matter 2. And I've played three of these. After the Fall, Bone Lab, and Red Matter 2.
Yeah.
And all three of them are good. I'd like in my review, or not review, first impressions of Bone Lab, it's I can see all the potential and I see why people love it. It's just not for me. Red Matter 2 is a follow-up to one of my favorite games, Red Matter. Mine would probably be After the Fall. It's so much fun. After the Fall is, it's basically Left 4 Dead, but in VR. And just the way that they were able to get like all the different like hordes of zombies coming at you, the different, and they've been constantly updating it with free updates. You know, they're not charging for these expansions. They're just giving you new maps and new things that you can do in it. So for me, it would probably be After the Fall as the best VR game. Which three did you played Among Us VR and you said you've been liking it.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I could see a lot of people voting for it, but it is a bit glitchy at the moment. It is a bit glitchy. I'm not going to lie. It's not the smoothest experience ever. It's a little glitchy. I haven't played Moss Book 2. I really want to play Red Matter 2 because I loved the first Red Matter.
Yeah.
I haven't played it yet. Really, really want to play that. I would like After the Fall to win out of all these games. I've been loving Among Us VR because it's a social game. You know what I mean? And social VR works so well in social aspects. You know what I mean? But After the Fall, like,
it's so fun.
Here's the thing as well. Much went into Among Us VR in terms of making it. I don't know why it took them so long to release it, because it's like I watched before Among Us when Among Us was big in 2020, right? I watched a YouTuber make his own VR version of the game, and it was so popular. It was all the big streamers were playing it as well, and this guy made it on his own in like a few weeks.
Yeah.
So I don't know why Among Us VR took so long to make, but here's the thing: way more effort and time, and like After the Fall is just a better game. It's a much like more. Like,
and you play co-op with that, you know? Up to four players.
Exactly. Yeah. Also social, which is great. So it's fun. Hope After the Fall wins. It's just that. Dude, people will vote for Among Us because of the memes. Once again, it's like the meme vote. You know what I mean? Among Us, if you will. Yeah. You know, it's so I hope After the Fall wins, but Among Us might just win just because it's the meme vote, the meme answer. You know?
Yeah. All right, best action game. We have Bayonetta 3, Call of Duty: Modern Warfare 2, Neon White, Sifu, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Shredder's Revenge, which is the remake, right? Is it a remake or is it just a remaster? I can't remember.
I think it's like, I could be wrong, but I think it's a sequel, but exactly like the original.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong. Yeah.
All right.
But it's that, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not isometric. It's that old school like 2D.
Yeah. 2D scroller. Beat
'em up game. Yeah.
Yeah. Which used to be my favorite genre when I was a kid, but not as much anymore. I haven't played any of these. So what's your take?
Played Sifu.
Okay. A lot of good buzz about Bayonetta 3.
Dude, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 just came out, so I can't even. I'm not going to pay for it because for some reason out here it's $80 in South Africa because Steam's fixing their regional pricing. So somehow they were like, you know who can afford an $80 game? Africa. Africans can afford an $80 game with our booming economy. It's the dumbest thing. So I don't think I'm going to get that game for
a while.
That's
why they should let Microsoft get Activision Blizzard so they can put this shit on Game Pass. Like, what they
do. It's funny enough. If you buy Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 from the battle.net, which is the Activision Blizzard app, it's actually somehow like not much less, but it's like it's about like $10 less, you know, so it's $70 instead of $80, but it's still crazy, man.
Yeah, they should just make a deal where Microsoft agrees to keep putting Call of Duty on PlayStation for the next, let's say, 10 years, and then they can get it and just put it on Game Pass. Do you know how many more people? It's already, you know, one of the most popular games in the world. Like, do that and you're just gonna increase the popularity.
They're locked in with contracts, which I get. But also, dude, it's a first-person shooter. It's not an action game. Why is it in this category?
I don't know.
It's not an action game.
Because there's no FPS category, so they stick it in there.
That's true, I guess. Yeah. But it's like, like action games are usually third person or like, you know, you it's anyways. Bayonetta 3, I haven't played it yet. Because as far as I know, yeah, it was a Switch exclusive. I was exciting. I was looking forward to play that on anything else because like Switch is good for indie games and like cutesy games, but I don't like anything like that's supposed to be higher graphics. It doesn't run too well or fast paced. Yeah, so I think because of the scandal around Bayonetta 3, more people ended up playing it than what it would have had. Mm-hmm. Neon White, out of all of these, well, okay, Sifu and Neon White, those are both like really good action games. Neon White is, I really enjoyed Neon White. It came out of nowhere for me as well. It's very, it's one of those things where like, it's intense. That's the word I'm looking for. It's intense. Like you kind of like you're in it. You know what I mean? But Sifu, I would say, is a better action by far. And I think Sifu is going to win this category.
Mm. All right.
Yeah.
Let's move on to best action adventure game, which is it combines combat with, this is the definition, with traversal and puzzle solving. So it's not purely just action. A Plague Tale Requiem, which I love, it's on there. God of War Ragnarok, which I love, it's on there. Horizon Forbidden West, I haven't played yet. Stray and Tunic.
This is going to be, this is a difficult one again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking it's going to be God of War Ragnarok. Especially if, you know, if we see Elden Ring win best or game of the year, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like God of War
will win best action adventure. Yeah. Stray was a great adventure game. There's zero action, but it was a great adventure game. Tunic, that is a good action. Well, yeah, that is a good, like, action adventure game. Well, I mean, technically there's action in it. It's Legend of Zelda, basically. You know what I mean? I think God of War Ragnarok's gonna win as well, just based off of votes. I literally can't choose between the top three. I can't choose between A Plague Tale Requiem, God of War Ragnarok, or Horizon Forbidden West. I could not choose between the three of those for this category. I'm really interested to see who's gonna win. Most likely God of War, just because it's a lot more popular.
All right, best RPG. This is where Elden Ring is, and I think it's going to win
hands
this.
Down.
It's they have Live. I don't even know if I've ever heard of that. Pokemon Legends Arceus, Triangle Strategy. I haven't heard of that. Xenoblade Chronicles 3 again. I think it's going to be Elden Ring. I mean, when you talk about like talk about character customization, weapons, progression, for me, Elden Ring is, that's where it shines. Didn't shine on the narrative, but RPG elements, fantastic.
The in terms of RPG mechanics, hands down, it wins. It's the best RPG we've had this year by far. Like Pokemon Legends Arceus, I love that game. Very, very little RPG mechanics. You know what I mean? It's a very bare bones. That's Pokemon's always been like a very bare bones RPG kind of game. Yeah. Triangle Strategy. Also a very good game, but like not much RPG. Like it's got the role playing, but it doesn't have the traditional role playing mechanics that we know of. It doesn't have that, you know what I mean? Xenoblade Chronicles 3 is, I haven't played it yet, but the previous two games were fantastic RPGs, well, JRPGs more specifically, but it's just Elden Ring had way more players, much bigger player base. It's gonna win. It's not like, I don't think anybody else is gonna get even close. Like the second most voted game would probably be Xenoblade Chronicles 3. But Elden Ring's gonna, it's a sweep. They're gonna sweep this one out.
Yeah. Best fighting game. DNF Duel, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, All-Star Battle R, The King of Fighters 15, Multiverses, and Sifu. I mean, Sifu's getting nominated in quite a few categories here.
Correct, yeah.
And it did, you know, a lot of people were... The funny thing about Sifu is, like, either people loved it or they hated it because it was because of the way... The game
the
design was, yeah,
as well.
You
had
to keep going. Like basically, you just had to get better. That was it. Like it was like get better. Yeah, it's different than, for example, Elden Ring. Elden Ring, even though you did have to sink a lot of hours into it, you could progress your way so you become so powerful you could beat any enemy. You know, there's nothing like that in Sifu. It's like you just have to get better.
You just gotta play over and over again until you get good at the game, man.
Because of the
way I love those kind of games.
Yeah, because it locks you into like how far you get and how many times you die. So it doesn't really matter, you know. You just have to get better. Who do you think wins this?
Because best fighting, first of all, it's like what's gonna get the most votes as well. And best fighting, you would assume it's usually multiplayer. You know what I mean? Sifu is not multiplayer.
Yeah.
It's a great action game. And it technically is a fighting game because it's literally martial arts. You know what I mean? So out of all of these, that's the best game. It's the best game, but I don't know what their people are going to vote for the most. I enjoyed Multiverses, you know, not that bad. Especially because they've done a lot of balancing. They've had a lot of game balance since the game came out. You know what I mean? I think for a while they had to remove... LeBron James and forgot the other character, but I'm sure that they're doing some balancing issue. They've done some balancing issues there. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure might get a lot of votes based off of, once again, it's the meme answer. It's the meme vote. I love JoJo's Bizarre Adventure as an anime. I haven't played the game, but once, like, between Multiverses and Sifu, those are, like, I'd say the most played. Don't know which one's going to win, you know what I mean? I would like Sifu to win this. Because in terms genre is fighting. And you like Sifu's great fighting, you know?
Yeah, I like the love that Sifu's getting in all these categories.
Same.
Yeah. All right, best multiplayer game. We got Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 2, Multiverses, Overwatch 2, Splatoon 3, and again, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, which it seems to have gotten a lot of acclaim there.
Yeah,
very surprised.
Just to say, we did skip a few categories here, but that's because we're a bit low on time and we haven't played much of those games.
Yeah.
So yeah, best multiplayer, dude. Call of Duty: Modern Warfare 2 just came out, like it just came out. You know what I mean? As far as I know, like, came out a few days ago. Let me check. Let me double check.
A couple
check
weeks
the
ago.
Release from that.
It was like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, Multiverses, which is free to play, Overwatch 2, Splatoon 3.
Yeah. Okay. So it did come out about like half a month ago. To be fair, yeah. I haven't played it yet just because it costs so much money out here. I could not afford that game. Well, it's not worth $80 for me at the moment.
$80, Jesus.
Yeah, I know. $80 for the base game. $80.
Yeah. And remember, these are being delivered digitally now. These are not discs. It's not like back in the day. One of the reasons games cost so much was the cartridges, because like. It was actual like microchips in the cartridges, and then with CDs and DVDs it was, you know, a cheaper medium, but now it's like digital. It's like, you know, there's nothing physical, there's no shipping, there's no manufacturing. Yeah. It's all just the studio, you know, development. Yeah,
well, cost. Steam recently changed its what's it called? I just said the word earlier on the regional pricing, because a lot of people were changing their regions and stuff to like get through to get the cheaper games and stuff. So I'm hoping they change it again because it's, dude, we South Africans, like we, or just like Africa in general, like we don't, our economy isn't booming. Like we, like the previous pricing I say was fair. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yes, it was cheaper than American games, but considering how much our minimum wages and stuff like that, it was a fair price. Like getting us to play. Like people are laughing at the Steam prices because they're just like, we're just not going to be gaming for a while, you know, or at least we're not going to be buying games from Steam. But going back to best multiplayer here, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles has couch co-op. Couch co-op is fun, real fun. But we're looking at like the fan base. Overwatch 2 also had to have some balancing issues. I played Overwatch 2. I really enjoyed it.
It got some backlash though. Not so much that it was bad, but so much that it wasn't that different. They were like, it's like Overwatch 1.5.
It went free to play, because here's the thing. Overwatch 2, the whole point of Overwatch 2 is that they were supposed to add PvE. PvE hasn't come out yet. So it literally is Overwatch 1, except I think you used to have two tanks. Now you only have one tank.
Yeah.
There was a lot of balancing issues in the beginning. A lot of characters were OP. Some characters were just permanently removed. Well, one character was permanently removed, May. Splatoon 3 had a big... not travesty. I'm blanking on words today, man. It had a big controversy this year where a lot of Splatoon 3 streamers and players would use... Because you're spraying paint everywhere, and that's how you win. Who's got the most paint, right? People were chroma keying that and playing porn in the background. And so many people got banned. Like, what did they think they were going to do? They were on YouTube. So many accounts got banned. But anyway, Splatoon 3, great multiplayer game. Much smaller fan base. Overwatch 2, there was a lot of... I don't think people are going to vote for it because a lot of people are upset with the game.
Yeah.
It did get a much bigger player base because it's free to play. I believe Multiverses is also free to play. I could be wrong about that. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 hasn't been out for long enough. I think it might be between Multiversus and... Well, not a lot of people play the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game, but that is a good multiplayer game. It's couch co-op. I think... I don't know, man. I think Multiversus might win this one.
Nice. All right, best esports game: Counter-Strike Global Offensive, Dota 2, League of Legends.
Ooh, don't you want to do best adaptation real quick?
I have that at the end.
Okay, cool. Okay, so best esports game.
Yeah, League of Legends, Rocket League, and Valorant. Your favorite?
Yeah. Look, I mean, yeah, Valorant is my favorite. Out of all these games, not much changes have been made except for Valorant. Every season it adds a new agent, right? Mm-hmm. Dota 2 hasn't changed in a long time. I love Dota 2. I play a lot of Dota 2. Not against real people because it's a difficult game. Dota 2, people can fight me on this, but Dota 2 is a lot more difficult than League of Legends, even though they're both MOBAs. Mm-hmm. League of Legends is a lot more accessible. You know, it's easier to get into. It is a little bit easier than Dota 2. Dota 2 is a lot more try-hard. Counter-Strike is a great game. It's been around forever. Not much changes have happened there either. Its counterpart would be Valorant. They're basically the same game. I like Valorant because it's more colorful. In Counter-Strike, I've had people who... Like, I'm colorblind, and I have people who aren't colorblind who tell me they don't know if they're shooting the wall or if they're shooting a person. Because everything's, like, very much... Like, people are in camo.
Similar
and the
color.
Walls are,
yeah.
Yeah, things too look too similar there. But in terms of... Like, I would love Valorant to win here, but the player base behind League of Legends is huge. So I do think League of Legends is going to win this because it just has the bigger player base. Also play a lot of Rocket League. I enjoy Rocket League, but I do think League of Legends is going to win this one. Yeah. Wish it was Valorant, though.
Yeah. All right, this next one, most anticipated game. Now, this is a category, to me, is kind of pointless. I'll list off the nominees. So you have Final Fantasy 16, Hogwarts Legacy, Resident Evil 4, Starfield, The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. I mean, on this list, I'm most anticipating Starfield with probably Hogwarts Legacy right behind that. And then what are yours? And then we'll talk about the category in general.
It's between Final Fantasy 16 and Hogwarts Legacy for me. Okay. I'm looking forward to Starfield, but I'm a diehard Final Fantasy fan. And this new game looks really good, man. Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the category. I feel like it's kind of pointless and useless, other than maybe there's a lot of like advertisers or the companies that are like want this category in there so they can help promote their, you know, their game. Like, oh, Hogwarts Legacy was the winner of the most anticipated game at the Game Awards or whatever. To me, it's pointless because You're talking about anticipation. There's a lot of anticipation for a lot of things, games, movies, TV shows. That doesn't mean they're good. You know what I mean?
All
the rest of the categories are based on something, right? There's something is out there for people to play or whatever to judge. This is purely on like, oh, this is the one that you like the most. Remember Cyberpunk 2077 was like coming out every freaking year and like kept showing up in this category. It's like, I don't know. I just personally, other than if it's...
Anticipation changes, man.
Yeah.
Like anticipation. That's the thing. Anticipation changes. The games could get delayed again, and then you're like, you have less anticipation. It's a very vague kind of thing. And I think you're absolutely right. This whole... The category exists for marketing. Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. It's just marketing. You know what I mean? And like just listing the games already is free marketing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Like Hogwarts Legacy was... Remember, it was originally supposed to come out this year. And then they pushed
this,
it.
I think this month or next month.
Yeah, I think it was November or something like that. And they pushed it. Starfield too. Starfield was supposed to come out this year as well.
Yep.
So, anyways, I don't see the category is doing much use other than advertising. All right, this one you had just mentioned before, and this is our last category, but it's a very interesting one. It's a new one, right? They just added this this year, and it's best adaptation, and it's something you and me always talk about, which is. Mm-hmm. Video games being adapted to other mediums, which is television, movies, comic books, or whatever. I'll list off the adaptations and then we'll talk about them. Arcane League of Legends, Cyberpunk Edgerunners, The Cuphead Show, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, and Uncharted. What I notice about this category is it's a pretty solid list compared to what video games used to be doing. Maybe that's why they added it this year. It's like, wow, you actually have stuff now that people can genuinely be excited about or talk about, versus usually before video game adaptations were like, oh man, that sucked or whatever, where most of these are like either at least okay or actually pretty good. My winner,
they had more to choose from. Like there's a couple that weren't listed here because they obviously didn't want to, but that's how many adaptations they had to choose from. Their pool was so big, they had to make it a category, you know?
Yeah, great. So my winner would be Arcane League of Legends. I think it's a fantastic show. And I don't even play the game. I played the game like a few times. I thought Sonic the Hedgehog 2 was pretty good too, but it wasn't Arcane level. So for me, it would be Arcane. Yeah. Uncharted was okay. I didn't love it or hate it. It was just okay for me. But Arcane to me is the winner. What about you?
I'd have to agree with you. Arcane is the clear winner. Also, it's I loved Cyberpunk Edgerunners. Loved it.
I need to watch that.
I really enjoyed it. It tugged on my heartstrings. The ending got. The ending got me crying. It was a really good anime, because that's what it is. It's a really good anime. But in terms of adaptation, they just adapted Night City. Mm-hmm. Like, all the characters are fresh. Whereas Arcane, that's actual characters from the game. Yeah. Getting, like, backstory and stuff, which we've always had backstory, but we've never had. And League of Legends has always had the coolest animations whenever they got a new person to play as. So we knew it was going to be good. It's just, Arcane is a flawless, it's a masterpiece of a show. The Cuphead show, I hated it. I love Cuphead. I hated the Cuphead show. I found it annoying. Sonic the Hedgehog 2, I enjoyed, but it was not as good as the original, first Sonic the Hedgehog movie, which was much better. But that's what you get with sequels usually a lot of the time. I did enjoy it. And I feel the same about Uncharted. I enjoyed Uncharted, but I wasn't loving it. It was something to watch, you know?
it was fine,
but
for
I think
what it was.
Arcane's going to win hands down. It's also got the biggest fan base.
And remember, next year, you're going to have The Last of Us, the HBO series. I don't know what the target date is for Fallout. I don't know if it's at the end of next year or not, but that's another... one, then you're going to have Arcane probably season 2 in there. So you got a lot of cool things. What movies are also being worked on? I'm trying to think. Oh, we talked about, I don't know when this will come out, but the Gears of War Netflix movie, which I don't think we'll probably make next year. We're probably looking at 2024.
That's probably like pre-production.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's probably 2024. But yeah, this is, I welcome this edition. This category, and I think it's going to kind of grow from there. All right, I think that's all the ones that we covered, or we were planning on covering. We just, you know, it's almost an hour now. Any last thoughts about the Game Awards, which is not too far away? It's about 3 weeks away.
I mean, I'm looking forward to all the trailers. That's always been my favorite part. You know what I mean? They're going to be... Jeff Keighley did say that he's got some trailers. He's got some announcements. That for me is... Game of the Year.
December
8th,
game direction. Sorry. I made a mistake. Like, December 8th, not 5th.
Yeah. The top three categories I'm always excited to see. You know what I mean? There's a couple things that I'm like less excited about. Like, I'm not too bothered about Content Creator of the Year. Usually I care about Best Esport Player, but for some reason I only know one of the people nominated. And I'm usually clued up with esports. I guess I was a little out of the loop this year. But yeah, I'm mostly excited for the announcements, man. Trailers, announcements. I'm excited for the event, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I guess that's it. Make sure we'll probably have a podcast, later this week. And we'll briefly kind of go over this stuff and then some more, other news coming out as well. Make sure to subscribe to this YouTube channel, youtube.com/Revog. We have a Spotify, anchor.fm for the weekly podcast. I'll probably put this on the podcast as well, just because it's a longer form, you know, that we did talk quite a bit about this subject. You can find me on Twitter at ThinkHero, Instagram, Dennis.TZNG. Where can people find you?
You guys can find me in the Revog Discord channel. We're trying to get that community a lot more active. I'm always out there about it. You guys want to talk? Talk about any kind of games. I'm there to talk. You guys can also follow me on my cam disappeared for a second. You guys can also follow me on Twitch at It's Thespis, all lowercase. There's hopefully a description link in the description below. Once I get to 100 followers, I'll be streaming actively.
Cool. Until next time, or maybe later this week, we'll talk to you guys later.
Later.